is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Listeners, if you live in a big city, there's a fair chance that you've shared your living space with a mouse at some point. I mean, I know I have in the past. For many, these uninvited visitors are pests. But there are also some research groups interested in whether these wild rodents could be a welcome guest in research labs. Of course, mice are an important model animal in all sorts of research, including testing new drugs or other therapies. Laboratory mice are bred to be genetically similar, which reduces natural variation and allows researchers to more accurately compare the effects of a particular treatment. These mice are well looked after, as David Massapust from the University of Minnesota explains.
Well, a lab mouse lives a very privileged existence. So it lives in a sanitized environment. It drinks perfectly clean water. It eats very clean food. And it lives essentially like a boy in a bubble, in a room that is designed to keep pathogens out. And so it is a clean, privileged existence.
This environment is important as it helps prevent unexpected variables like infections from affecting results. Now, though, researchers are wondering whether these squeaky clean conditions are influencing a lab mouse's immune system. If so, these animals may not be representative of how a human immune system might react to the same treatments.
Humans don't live in a sanitized environment, even if we try to make it so. Certainly, we've evolved to live in a microbial world, and our immune systems sort of behave differently when we have a sort of normalized history of immune experience or infectious experience. And because we are trying to model humans typically, then it raises concerns that if we only look in sanitized animals, that we may be missing something, or what we're discovering, even though it may be very true, may fail to translate to sort of the human existence.
David wanted to change things up and try to introduce a little of the outdoors into laboratory mice. This required obtaining some wild mice, which turned out to be a bit more tricky than expected.
So about 15 years ago, I was a postdoc in Georgia. And the idea struck me then. I called a bunch of exterminators who said, sure, we'll give you mice, and then never called me back. It was surprisingly difficult. I ultimately found a petting zoo that allowed me to take a look at some of their mice that were infesting the property. And so when I moved to Minnesota, it was actually one of the first projects I initiated. And ultimately, to turn this into a real experiment and to go from just observation to experimentation, we were fortunate that a facility was built on campus that was what we call biosafety level 3.
Biosafety level 3 labs are high containment facilities that are typically used when working on serious diseases of humans. In this case, though, it allowed the researchers to contain any diseases that the outdoor mice happened to be carrying to prevent contamination of other mice experiments. David housed his outdoor mice, which he calls dirty mice, with groups of laboratory rodents. As well as sharing their living space, the dirty mice also shared their microbes, which of course included their pathogens.
We found that a number of infections moved over. You know, it's kind of like being raised on a desert island for all your whole life, and then I drop you off at age 20 into daycare. So there's a commotion in the blood. There are a lot of immune responses that transpire. Things kind of settle down after a couple of months, but importantly, the immune system never returns to how it was before, and it has adopted these characteristics that we were looking at that were more like humans.
In a 2016 Nature paper, David and his colleagues showed that the immune system of dirty mice were more developed than those of laboratory mice, with higher levels of certain immune cells. The team co-housed mice bought in a pet shop with laboratory mice, and while not all of them survived the exposure to outside diseases, the lab mice that did ended up themselves with a much more developed immune system. David described the change in the immune system as going from resembling a human baby's to that of a human adult. Now, it's tough to imagine how you could standardize the microbes that a co-housed lab mouse is exposed to, or how its immune system would be affected. But David thinks this variability could actually be a benefit, as it may be more representative of the variation seen in the human population. This could be useful when testing new drugs.
The idea that if you can have a reproducible phenomenon in mice that have different microbial experiences, just like humans, you know, you and I have had very different infectious histories. You might be able to filter out those therapeutics that really have a lower probability of being broadly successful in a diverse human population.
David wants to know whether the dirty mice could have been used to predict the failure of vaccines that work well in the traditional mouse model, but then turned out not to work in humans at a later stage. Others can see the potential of the dirty mice as well. Here's immunologist Eleanor Riley, who thinks the new system might offer some advantages.
So I think it's a bridge between the purely lab approach and the real world. And I think that's an important bridge. I think doing the very highly controlled experiments that we're used to doing is really important for unpicking basic biological principles. But then when we take that information into a population of people, we're all of a sudden introducing a huge additional level of complexity, not just genetic diversity amongst our population, but all of those environmental complexities. And that jump is huge from a very, very highly controlled lab mouse to essentially an uncontrolled human population. And I think the dirty mice offer that bridge to step from within the same species, clean mouse to dirty mouse, and then saying dirty mouse to dirty human.
Whether dirty mice and their immune systems will help give a better representation of humans remains to be seen. David is by no means the only researcher investigating their potential, but a lot of work needs to be done, both in terms of research and infrastructure, before these mice are ready to be used for testing new drugs and therapies. However, while the dirty mouse system might not be there quite yet, David can see a place for it alongside traditional mouse models.
I think it could become a standard way of doing things, but certainly not the only standard way, and it will never replace the standardized clean model, at least in the foreseeable future, and it shouldn't. I think the things that need to be done are to sort of fully vet its value and to sort of provide examples where it would have better predictive value for an outcome in humans than maybe the clean mouse would have.
That was David Massapust from the University of Minnesota in the US. You also heard from Eleanor Riley from the Roslin Institute in the UK. You can read more about the research involving dirty mice in our feature article, which you can find over at nature.com/news.